Oh, it's good. Well, if you're new here to Northgate, welcome here. My name's Evan. I'm the lead pastor here, and you're welcome. You may be, just like what some of Rob's friends are in Port Alberni, you may not know who Jesus is and not have spent a lot of time in church. And just so you know, you're so welcome here. We want you here, and we're going to do our best to introduce you to our Savior and our friend and our Lord Jesus, who has set us all free. We just really believe that true life comes from him, but if you're new here and you don't believe in him and you're not sure, that you're still welcome. Take part in this with us and start to experience and welcome the life that you're going to start to feel while you're here. We're walking through a series called Dead of Winter, and we're in the third week of 4 weeks in this series, and we've been talking about the reality that just like the seasons, winter shows up in the Comox Valley, and sometimes with snow and rain and gray skies, and sometimes feels really long. In the same way, we walk through winters of our soul. We walk through the season of our soul that is winter, and it can just be heavier sometimes. It can be cloudier. It can be difficult to navigate your way out. Everything can just feel a little harder, and sometimes it's because of circumstances. Sometimes we know exactly why we're in that season, and sometimes we're just there for who knows why. We just feel down. We just feel worn out. We feel just disappointed. We just feel discouraged for whatever reason. One way or another, all of us bump into a season of the soul that is winter at some point. Some of us, it lasts a really long time. And so for the 4 weeks, we're talking about the things that I want you, as your pastor, I want you to stop doing in that season. The first one, we said, I want you to stop isolating yourself. Stop being on your own and trying to battle this as if no one else cares, or as if no one else can help you, or as if you're strong enough to get through it on your own. I want to encourage you. We get together like this because we believe that God has called us into relationship with him, but also into relationship with one another. That we're meant to walk with each other. And a church that's thriving has every person within it feels like they have deep relationships that are helping them grow their faith. And it's not just the pastor that grows their faith, but it's their community and their relationship and their friendship that grows their faith. So stop isolating. The second week, last week, we said, stop rushing. Often we hit winter and it's uncomfortable. It doesn't feel that nice. It doesn't feel that cozy, you know. It's painful often, and we just think, I just want to get past this thing. I want to get past this grief that I'm facing. I want to get past whatever I'm dealing with. I just want to move on to the next season. I want to hurry up and get there. Let me just get through this. And last week we said that God often wants to do something special in that season of winter for you. That we can think that God can't exist here, but God is saying, I do exist here, and I want to meet you here, and I love you, and I value you, and I'm going to teach you in this space. So stop isolating, then stop rushing. And this week I want to say, stop denying the destination. Because the reality for us in this church and as Christians, there's a destination for us. And we really believe that, and often we've made our winter our destination. We said, the journey that I'm on must be the space that I'll never leave. I'm struggling here with my debt, and I'm never going to get out of this debt. I'm struggling here with my marriage, and my marriage will forever be broken like this. I'm struggling here with high school, and I'm feeling like no one likes me, and I will never get out of this. I will never be liked. I'm struggling because I'm single, and I wish I was married, and I'm never going to get past it. I'm struggling because we can't have kids, and I wish we could, and I guess this is just the reality of my life. Winter is my destination. Winter is my forever. Winter is where I'm locked in, and I'll never get past this. I want to tell you something, and I want you to hear it with a heart full of the expectation that God can put there. Spring is coming. Spring is coming to you. You're not going to live forever in this winter. The things that you're facing right now are not the things that you're going to deal with forever. Spring is coming. And if it's not right here, right now, in your time right here, God says to you, I have an eternal spring that I want to offer you. I have an eternal space where healing and joy and peace are coming to you, and they're yours in abundance. You know, I went to Tofino last year, my family and I, Kendall and the three kids and I, we packed up to go camping in Tofino. And we're not necessarily seasoned campers, so a lot of the gear that we have is borrowed or new to us, or we haven't necessarily learned how to pack it in as best we can. But we do have a minivan. Hallelujah. No? No amens on the minivan? Okay, got it. I understand. It hurts a little, but it's okay. So like we pop open the trunk, we're like, okay, let's see if we can get all of this stuff in the trunk. And you're looking at your garage and it's like basically full of all the stuff that you need to take. And so we start stacking it up in the trunk and like fitting it in everywhere. I would consider myself quite a good packer of a van myself. But I'm trying to fit everything in. You got the barbecue, you got all this stuff, and all of a sudden it's like the trunk is packed. So I'm like, well, I guess we're not fitting it in all in there. So we close up the trunk and now we've got to pull out a couple seats, which you can do in a van and not an SUV usually. So, and sliding doors, by the way, if you were wondering. But anyways, we take out those middle seats. We're like, okay, I guess we'll have to put our three kids on the same row in the back, which usually we like to have a little separation to keep the peace. But whatever, we'll put the back seat. That's okay. And we'll start loading. We'll just have to put a few things in. Well, as we go, like, it's just more and more. And then we got these foamies and this water jug. And what is this? What is this even thing? We got floaties and do we need toys? Do we need, what is going on? Boom, 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 boom. All of a sudden, it was like our kids had to like squeeze in to get to their seats. Like, oh, this is so comfy, you know? And there's a big chunk of stuff in between them and us in the front seat. Like, you couldn't even see them. They're all standing there just staring at a mountain of stuff that we've got to get past. And it's just sort of thinking like, man, is this really worth it? You know, packing up all this stuff, is like, why are we doing this to ourselves? Anyways, they fit in, they carry on, we start driving, and pretty much before we get out the driveway, our kids are starting to cry, you know, boom, boom, one hits, the other one tries to take something, boom, all of a sudden, slap, 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 hair pull, and we're not even out the driveway, the kids are crying, it's just like, feels like frustrating. We can't even see them. Kendall's like, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. Hey, stop doing that. Like, it's way over the mountains. It's over the mountain into the valley back there that we got to talk to our own kids. And there's like no space to see them. They're yelling and screaming. And then right when we're about to pull into Port Alberni, one of my new favorite cities, right as we're about to pull into that, one of our children, little Miss Isabella, says, I think I'm going to be sick. Well, there's a lot of stuff that sickness could cause issues with. And so it didn't sound like an emergency, but we soon found out it was. And so we're going, I think I'm going to be sick. And then confirmation came very quickly after that. And boom, it just starts going. I saw Kendall jump into the most amazing Ninja Kendall I've ever seen, where she's like, she hears the noise of what's happening in the back over the mountains. And she like, just this one foul swoop. She just reaches over like this. We've got a bag of cookies sitting there. She grabs the bag by the bottom, like flips it up. Cookies fly out of the bag. And then she like does this dive over top of all the like, she squeezes through. The hole's like this big, and she squeezes through like a mouse or something. And she dumped the cookies and started catching cookies in the back. And it was pretty amazing. It was just a pretty special moment. But there I am on the side of the highway to Port Alberni, actually to Tofino, and I'm like drying off nasty with like wet wipes, and we're just trying to figure this all out. It's just frustrating. All our stuff is dirty. It's packed in. They're fighting. It's hot. Now it's not smelling too good. And it's like, oh, this is just like, what are we doing here? You know, why are we here? Why, this doesn't feel like vacation. This doesn't feel like rest. Why are we here? And if that was what we left town for, we wouldn't have done it. However, we knew that the destination is what we left town for, not the journey. Sometimes the journey is good, but sometimes it's not good. Sometimes the journey is challenging and overwhelming and difficult and tiring, and we don't want to be a part of it. But we do know the destination is good, so the journey is worth it. Some of us, our life journey towards eternity with God is very challenging. Some of us, when on our life journey we're walking, there's all sorts of difficult things that we have to face and we have to overcome and we have to get through. Some of us are facing some really big things. We say, well, what is this life all about? But we're not meant to look at this as if it's the destination. In fact, God wants to filter how you see your current situation, because he has a destination that's so much better, that's so much greater, and so much more. Psalm 121:1 says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He's the one who creates this and allows us to walk in this and experience this, but he doesn't say that's all you get. He says, I'm also the maker of heaven. I've got something beyond this, that even if it seems like winter never leaves you here, I've got an eternal spring for you to come enter into. See, God's leading us through winter, but he's not leading us to winter. Though he's with us on the journey through winter, he's not saying, now come, you just have to live in winter for the rest of your eternity. He says, no. No matter if, even if it's your whole life, it's still just a part of your eternity. I've got so much more ahead, where every tear is dried up. Every sickness is healed. Every pain is taken care of. Every little bit of fear is washed away. I've got spring for you. In Luke 5, Jesus sort of reveals the importance of this in this moment. Jesus has been walking around town and into these different cities, and people have been loving watching him and hearing from him and following him. And Jesus heals people in most places he goes. So he show up, and there's all these sick people, and he just starts healing them and taking care of them and teaching them. And so they've got this crowd that started to gather, and there's this one house that he's at, and he's teaching everyone, and this unique thing happens in Luke 5. It says, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. I love how Luke just makes it very clear where this is. Into the house, through the crowd, right in the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. Like, there's no denying this moment. Can you imagine me speaking right now, and all of a sudden you start hearing, and someone's cutting a hole right here. And like, I'm trying to go at it, and it's like slowly, boom. Like, everyone wants to know, what are you going to do about that, Ev? What are we going to do about this moment? You've got, and here's Jesus just trying to teach, and now the poor host's house is getting cut up and ripped apart, and now this person who's clearly got some paralysis going on has shown up right here, and Jesus is like talking, and I can just imagine, like, hey, can we get the ushers to come help us with this? Like, we got to figure something out. No, but Jesus looks at this person and recognizes there's something wrong. And in the midst of trying to teach everyone and do everything, he sees this one person. He recognizes there's something wrong. And the stage has been set. What will Jesus do? Amidst all these people, what's he going to do in this moment? What can he accomplish? See if he's really as strong and as powerful as he thinks. This guy's paralyzed. This guy couldn't even get here on his own. And now his friends care about him so much that they've cut a hole in the roof and lowered him down. What will Jesus do about this? You can imagine Jesus sort of getting ready. Okay, this is going to require some serious Jesus strength, you know? This is going to require real work of God. It's going to require some real power. And I can see that this guy's got some issues. And so he goes, okay, here I go. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Friend, your sins are forgiven. And everyone's like, rip off. We can all see the real problem here. We can all see that the problem is that he can't walk. Why are you talking about his sins? We can all see that the issue is that he had to get lowered down here on his own. Is he also going to have to get lifted out of here? Is he also going to have to get carried away from here? He just showed up in front of Jesus. We all can see the problem, and Jesus, you don't seem to recognize that. I think we often treat Jesus like that in our lives. Like, God, I know my problem. I know the issue. I know how it needs to get fixed, so fix it already. And he says, yes, your eternity is spring. You're forgiven. I love you. I've got a hope for you. I can't wait to do eternity with you. Like, that is amazing. No, 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 that's not what I'm looking for, Jesus. I want you to get me out of this winter. I want you to get me out of this whole thing. You know, isn't it obvious what I need? And Jesus said, yes, you need forgiveness. Badly. The Pharisees get a little bit frustrated because now Jesus is doing things that only God should be able to do. Like, Jesus shouldn't be able to do things on earth that impact heaven, that impact eternity. He's not that special. And so they get a little bit mad about him. And Jesus says, well, which is easier? To say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. Don't you love how the author just writes that, by the way? Could you imagine that moment? Someone just rises up off a mat and walks out like, I think we've seen a remarkable thing today, haven't we? Very nice, very nice. Anyways, Jesus, carry on. Like, it was what a weird little phrase. But anyways, you know what I was thinking about when I was considering this whole piece? Thinking about what the next day looked like for this guy. Or a few days after that. Or the next year when he was playing some baseball and slid into, you know, second base. And did he scrape his leg or not? Did he get an owie sometime later? Like, God has healed him now. Is he going to get hurt again? Is he going to need Band-Aids again? Is he going to break a bone again? Yeah, maybe. He probably is, actually, because he's still in the body that's breaking down. In fact, he died at some point. In fact, everyone that Jesus healed died at some point. The people Jesus rose from the dead died later on. Sometimes you can think, like, why would he raise them from the dead and then they still have to die? And then they're like, what's going on with that? But Jesus heals people so that he can reveal to them that he has power here and that power actually relates to the power he has in eternity. And so you need to listen to him and go to where he has an eternal spring for you. And I can come touch down a little bit. I can give you a glimpse of it for a moment. In heaven, there's no wheelchairs. In heaven, there's no people on crutches. In heaven, there's no people who have limps and are broken. In heaven, everyone's pure and healed and healthy. And I'll give you a glimpse of it right now, but don't think that that's what it's about. It's about eternity. That's what I care about for you. I want you to see it. And so that's why Jesus starts with this guy and goes, oh, before I take care of what you think is the problem, I better take care of the actual problem. Because if Jesus all of a sudden came up to him and said, hey, get up, walk, and he goes, yahoo, I'm out of here, he's still going to die. And did he know Jesus? You know, Jesus is okay with us walking in a period of winter, even in a life of winter, because he knows he's got an eternity of spring for us. And sometimes we deny the destination. We deny the fact that he's leading us to somewhere. We say, well, this is all I can see right now. But spring is coming. You know? Spring is showing up. Spring is in front of us. Spring is where we get to go next. And in fact, what we're facing right now isn't even worth comparing. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Our suffering here actually points to the fact that we need a healer and a savior to come and come take care of this earth. No, we're going to see glimpses of heaven. In fact, God, Jesus himself, when he's asked to pray, he says, here's how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. You know, come touch down. Come let that kingdom be experienced here. Come give us a glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. Come give us a glimpse of the fullness of Jesus. Let us taste a little bit of it. Let us experience a little bit of it now, because there's so much more to come. Let us see it now. We want to experience it now. But in the midst of this, if we don't feel it now, we know that heaven is our eternal spring. And that the winter is worth enduring for the sake of that. One of my favorite chunks of scripture falls in Hebrews 11. And the author, likely Paul, is writing about these heroes of our faith. These heroes that have done these incredible things and stepped up in faith in so many ways. And they're just names. Like, it's just this amazing group of names. The Hall of Faith, some people call it. It's just like this group of people that are like, wow, incredible people. And here's how he wraps it up in Hebrews 11, 13. He says, and all these people were still living by faith when they died. What that means is all these people still thought the fullness of what God was going to do was going to transcend their life, was going to take place after their life, was going to take place somewhere beyond their life. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, if you're not a believer in him, you think you better fit every single thing possible and potential right in this life. And so winter is just an absolute mess for you. How can I mourn for this long in my life when all I have is this life? How can I be sick for this long in my life when all I have is this life? How can I be struggling with this marriage for so long when all I have is this life? How can I fight for kids for so long when all I have is this life? How can I have such a hard time in high school when all I have is this period of time in high school? This is all I have. It's got to be good. I can't stay in this winter for long because it's all that I have. But as soon as Jesus enters the story, he says, the stuff you're facing right now, it's not worth comparing to the incredible glory that you're going to see when you come to me. And I'll give you a few little glimpses with healings of eyes and raising of the dead and healings of people with crippled arms. I'm going to give you a few glimpses into what it's going to look like just to whet your appetite. Because when you come to me, when the kingdom touches down, you're going to see some of that. But when you come to the kingdom, whew, it's going to be good. That's your destination. The winter's your journey. The spring is your destination. Said they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. This author writes the story of these people who were willing to live their entire life without seeing any of the promise that they thought they should see, without seeing any of the things that they thought they should see in that life. They were willing to live that life knowing that they were part of something bigger, and that if their whole life had to be winter, they knew that spring was coming. It's coming for us. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Worship team, you can come on and join me. You know, I want you to have this reality in your heart. I want you to be able to walk through your winter seasons. And I'm not saying deny your winter seasons. I'm not saying deny, oh, I'm not actually in pain, it's not actually hurting. Come on, it's hurting. It's challenging. It's overwhelming. You know, when you walk through those things in your life, when your marriage is just crumbling before you, that hurts. That takes work. If there's jealousy rising, yeah, that starts showing up. If there's infidelity taking place, yeah, that hurts. It's not supposed to be, oh, I don't care about that, it doesn't matter. Because we're not supposed to deny what's going on and deny our pain in it, deny the winter, but we also shouldn't deny the destination and recognize that the journey is here, but the destination is there. And I would love the kingdom to come and touch me in this journey. I'd love to see his healing right now. And in fact, as a pastor and as a Christian, I'll pray anytime someone needs healing for their body. I'm going to pray for it. Well, why? There's heaven. They're going to get healed there. Yeah, but heaven might want to come to earth right now. We might want to see the kingdom drop here and get a little glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. I'm always going to pray for that. You know, if there's brokenness in a family, if there's sickness, if there's strife, if there's relational stuff, I'm going to pray that it would get resolved. Yeah, but what doesn't matter is all going to get figured out in heaven. Yeah, spring is up there, but spring might want to show up here. God might want to bring spring right here. What about people in addiction? What did you pray for them? Yes, I want freedom right now. I want them to know the freedom of Jesus right now in this place. But I know that the struggle that leads them through winter is not eternal. And if they would allow Jesus to touch their life, they would turn over to Him. Then their eternal is spring. That's the promise of Jesus. That's what He gives to us. He actually says Himself, in this world you will have troubles. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. In this life you will have winter. But take heart, because heaven offers you spring. And you can call it down here. You can invite it here. In fact, pray hard for it to come and meet you in this space. But one way or another, spring is coming to those who believe. Those who recognize Jesus as their Savior, their Lord, and their God. And so I want to give you a chance today to allow spring to become your destination. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes for a moment? Just give people a little bit of a moment here. I just want to ask you if there's someone in this room today who says, you know what, I'm not sure if heaven's in my future. I don't know if I have what it takes. Jesus says to you, it doesn't take anything. It just takes you identifying with me and allowing me to be your righteousness, following me with your life, giving me your dreams and all that you're walking through. It means that you'd be willing to walk through a winter knowing that I'll give you spring. And Jesus wants to give you spring. He wants to secure your spot. He wants to give you heaven. He wants to give you a hope that can transcend your winter experience right now. And today, if you say, well, I want that. I need to know that at the end of all of this, that I'm going to a spring place. I'm going to a place where the sun shines. I'm going to a place where the healing is given, where the pain falls off, when the brokenness is restored, where the tears are caught. I need to know that that's my future. And Jesus welcomes you to it right now and says, come and follow me. If today you say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to go after Him. I want to know that my spring is secured, that the spring is near. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Is there anyone in the room? God bless you. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Yeah, God bless you. God bless you down here. God bless you up there. And at the back, God bless you. At the back down here, God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment. You've called us to you. You've called us to spring. For walking through winter seasons, Lord, you're saying, hey, you can make it. You can make it. I'm with you. I can stand beside you. I'm here for you. Come talk to me. Come lean on me. Come believe in me. I'll lead you to the next space, and I want to set eternity in your heart. I want to put spring in your heart, because the temporary things that you're facing right now, they're eternal if you think the only thing that exists is this life. But I need to tell you that this winter season in your life, it is all washed away at the end of all time when eternity is spring for you. Jesus, thank you for those who have said yes to that today. Said, I want that today, Jesus. Let your Holy Spirit just confirm that in their heart. They would know that today they're new in you. They're new in you. Following you today and forever. Jesus, help them. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody who believes it says, amen. Come on, let's give it up for those who made a decision like that. Come on, that's amazing. I also want to pray for the people who might be in this room. People who are facing winters. You're saying, I know my eternity's set. I know what's going on, but I want to see the kingdom touch down here. I want to see heaven come and touch my life right now. If today that's you and you say, I want to see heaven touch down. I want my body to be healed. I want my marriage to be restored. I want my kids to stop rebelling. I want the boldness and courage to make friends at school rather than just be rejected by everyone. I want the peace in my heart. I want my debt to be figured out. I want to be able to figure out all this stuff with my finances. I want all of that. I want heaven to come and touch down. Well, we're going to pray for that. So today, if you just say, I'm one of those things. I want heaven to come and touch down here. I want the kingdom to come and meet me here. Your kingdom come, Lord, that I might see your hand here. And now, if you say that today, would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Come on. Yeah, there's hands all over the room. All over the room. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Come on. We all need that. We all do need this. Lord, would you just do it? Would you just let us see you? Kingdom come. Kingdom come here. Let heaven touch down on earth today. Thank you, Lord, that there is spring to come. But Lord, we pray for it right now in Jesus' name. For those who need healing in their body, set them free, Jesus, that they would know healing. For those who need to know what it is to be free of addiction, Lord, we pray for your freedom in Jesus' name right now. For those who are walking through brokenness in marriage, Lord, today I pray for forgiveness that is insane. Lord, for amazing forgiveness, amazing apologies, amazing change in life, Jesus, that there'd be this new pursuit of one another and pursuit of you. For those walking through financial hardship, Jesus, set them free to know what it is to budget and see your blessing and call on you and recognize your hand providing, Jesus. For those who are walking through rebellious kids, Lord, help them have faith to see you, but also, Lord, to see their kids come and return back to you and back to them, Jesus. Restore the broken families, restore the broken individuals, restore the broken scenarios and relationships, Jesus. Let heaven touch down. In Jesus' name we pray. Anyone who really wants that prayer to be answered today says, amen. Come on, praise Jesus. He's good. Well, hey, we love you. Have a great day. If you want to get connected more with us, make sure you fill out a connect card or jump on this week, .ngate.ca, and come try to track us down. We'd love to have you find a small group, get on team, serve with us. We love you. Have a really great week. Spring is coming.